This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The La Crosse area has been working for years to reduce opioid abuse, but the availability of recovery services continues to be a problem, especially in more rural communities in the area. Viterbo University is hoping to help tackle this issue through a new grant-funded program that connects graduate students and their mental health counseling program with area organizations to provide opioid and substance abuse prevention, treatment, and recovery services. Joining us to talk about the new program, called VOICE, are Deborah Murray, Director of Counselor Education at Viterbo University and Project Director of the VOICE program, Al Bliss, Health Educator for the La Crosse County Health Department, Mary Freiberg, Executive Director of Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers, a nonprofit which serves La Crosse, Monroe, Vernon, and Crawford counties, and Angie Smith, Master's Student at Viterbo in the VOICE program, who provides mental health services at La Crosse County Health Department. Deborah, I'll have you start by just explaining a little bit about the VOICE program, which I should note stands for Vital Opioid and Substance Abuse Instruction through Community-Based Experiential Training, which is a bit of a mouthful.
It sure is. So we like VOICE really well.
Indeed. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the program.
Okay, so the program is, it's part of HRSA, so it's some of the main areas that HRSA is looking at is providing services in rural settings, as well as working within an integrated behavioral health plan. So, and then the combination for that, the particular grant that we received, looks at the tackling opioid and substance use disorders. One of the things that, I think the main thing that happens is 60% of the grant money goes directly to students to place them with our partner agencies in areas that have high need and that also have three or more other behavioral health specialties present so that they have that integrated health services. I think it's safe to say we've been a leader in substance abuse, preparing professionals for substance abuse treatment for, I don't know, 20 years. And so we're hoping to combine that and both improve what we're able to educate the students, put them in rural areas or areas of high need. We have some partners in the La Crosse area. And then the other 40% is slated to take care of things like providing some auxiliary education programs. So we have like community conversations where we talk about the need for substance abuse treatment providers. We have town halls where we talk about some of the legislation that could make a difference in providing services and reducing the number of individuals that are harmed through substance abuse. And then we'll have annual summits where we'll invite everybody together, and there'll be a day of speakers and education about relative, nuances, the evidence-based practices, what's happening, and what do we need to do next. So that's, in a nutshell, it's trying to provide the best healthcare providers that we can around the issue of substance abuse, targeting opioid, of course, and to really try to expand services. So there's a lot of disparity if we look around the counties that circle the La Crosse area, and trying to see what can we do for making those gaps less problematic.
Yeah, Deborah, can you talk a little bit about just the need that we do have in our community for opioid and substance abuse, all these different services, both prevention and recovery? Can you just talk a little bit about what that problem looks like here in our area?
At this point, I'd almost talk about that Al should chime in with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's been working for the Alliance to Heal, and they've been doing a lot of things. I think Al's Alliance to Heal probably has a pretty good bird's eye view. I can say a little bit about, generally speaking, substance abuse is going to impact 20% of the population at any given time. What we often don't look at, though, is the impact on families, on work settings, the impact on healthcare in general. But I don't know, would you want to pick up and talk a little bit about some of the things that Alliance to Heal has been
Sure. So we started in 2013 as the Heroin and Illicit Drug Task Force. And the La Crosse County, it was the Criminal Justice Management Council that wanted something to be addressed about the heroin overdose deaths. At that time, they weren't even addressing prescription drugs. I mean, that was a moot point at that point. So nothing on, oxy and hydrocodone. We're not talking about that. We're just concerned with heroin. And the idea was to come up with 4 to 6 strategies to address the heroin overdoses and the deaths caused in our community. And, we've kind of went along and we're able to do things such as install sharps boxes, support the law enforcement efforts, do some town hall forums and that. But we really were limited with the resources that we had, and we weren't always connected to all of the right groups that we should have been. And so I'm really pleased to see that Viterbo did get this grant, because for academics to be involved with that is so important, especially for preparing health professionals and mental health. It's really important to get everybody involved. But I got to get back to answering your question. So, we have right now over 600 individuals that are in either five agencies that provide medicated assisted treatment. And so that's between the county, Integrated Support Recovery Services, and what they do with MAT and the jail, or medicated assisted treatment for those with heroin or opioid use disorder. And then, of course, both healthcare, and then now there's Clean Slate that's also on the north side here of La Crosse that's able to provide treatment as well, and then Addiction Medical Solutions. So, I know Deb mentioned about 20% of individuals are impacted by that. So we have over 600 individuals right now, and this is just for opioid use disorder, so it doesn't count alcohol or other combination of substances.
Yeah, and Al, I wonder, Deborah brought up the Alliance to Heal. You started to kind of explain kind of where that, kind of project has come out of. Can you explain what that looks like now?
Sure. So now what it looks like is there's 10 different groups that address 4 main goals or objectives, and one is to reduce access to opioids. And that sounds negative, but what that really is looking at is trying to especially reduce unnecessary prescribing of opioids, especially for really chronic pain, and really not the best medications to treat for that, but they also are for some people as well. So the CDC, or Centers for Disease Control, came out in 2016 with 12 main guidelines to support those prescribing practices. So the main difference now is that we're able to work with both healthcare systems to take a look at those guidelines and look, for example, how many opioids are being prescribed. But they're also looking at, the quality of care for individuals as well is certainly considered in there. And there's different tools to measure some of those things as well.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about opioid and substance abuse in the La Crosse area and a new program at Viterbo that's connecting counseling students with area organizations to provide services. We're here with Al Bliss, health educator for the La Crosse County Health Department, Deborah Murray, director of the VOICE program at Viterbo University, Mary Freiberg, executive director of the Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers, and Angie Smith, a master's student at Viterbo in the VOICE program. Mary, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what you have seen at Scenic Bluffs as far as this issue of opioid and substance abuse. What does that look like at your health centers?
Sure. So Scenic Bluffs is a primary care clinic, and we focus on healthcare access for traditionally underserved communities. So we're located in Cashton. We have sites in Norwalk. We have a dental clinic in Viroqua. We do multiple services, but we're primarily rural-based. It happens that just a few weeks ago we opened Tuesday services in La Crosse, but that's a pretty small part for us. The services that we offer, about 78% of the people that come to the health center live below 200% of the federal poverty level. And so our kind of specialty niche are people who are low income. With substance use disorder, it's it's more along the lines of alcohol use disorder than it is opioids and prescription drug misuse, but certainly that is absolutely a growing part of what Wisconsin's rural communities are facing. And so we have two clinicians in our medical practice who are MAT certified, medication assisted therapy certified, and that just happened. And so we already can see the quick growth potential of people who are looking for services with MAT. We've partnered most often in terms of making sure that we're doing it the right way and have good support systems in place with the Gunderson Health System around that. But our services right now are growing. Last year, the health center as a whole served about 7,600 different patients with about 23,000 visits. But behavioral health, mental health services is a small part of that, or just around 2,300 visits that we did last year. We expect that is going to grow. We have one therapist that is certified to do mental health and alcohol and substance use services. We are increasing that. A good number of our patients are native Spanish speakers, and so we have to worry about healthcare access and language issues. But we're super excited about learning from this initiative, and we actually are training for Viterbo. We're a site to train one of the students already, and so we've started that, in January, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to talking more about how students will be working at the centers. But, you know, Al, I wonder, you know, as we're talking about just kind of the scope of this issue in our area, you know, as you mentioned, La Crosse County has been working on this issue for a number of years, you know, starting with the task force. And how do you think this issue compares to where we were at 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to now?
Yeah, so couple of points I think that are important. I mean, we've seen the reduction statewide in the heroin overdoses, well, opioid overdoses, and it's been the first time for a number of years. And so I kind of refer to it as kind of like a bottleneck that's been occurring, because if you think about it, the guidelines that came out for opioid or opioid prescribing came out in April of 2016. And about a year or so after that, you started seeing the opioid prescription rates going down. You actually started seeing the drug-related hospitalizations, especially for opioids and ER visits, then starting to kind of trend down. But people still are, you know, addicted, and they're going to need recovery and support services for many years to come, lifelong. And I think that that's important to consider. And one of the limitations that I think that our project does have is that it's for the La Crosse County only. So I'm really pleased to see that the rural communities in the surrounding areas with Viterbo's Voice project and that is going on. And I think the work that the graduate level students are able to do in those communities is really going to help build a lot of awareness, help people navigate to get the support services that they have. So that's why I think that this is an important collaboration among, you know, all of our communities to work together. The Division of Health Services also just recently published and talked about where some of the treatment is, you know, located. And I think they consider that if you're within 30 minutes of a opioid treatment program, if you're beyond that you really need to have services out there. And if you think of Cashton, or you think of those that are just beyond 30 minutes, that's going to be really important to have those services and support available. So again, what Scenic Bluffs is doing and what you're doing is going to be able to really help.
Yeah, Deborah, earlier you mentioned that this project is supported by a grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for just over $740,000. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about why Viterbo wanted to apply for that grant? And I wonder if you were surprised to receive it.
Okay, so why did we go after the grant? We looked at the grant, and it was like, we'd actually looked at it before it had the opioid part. We'd written a HRSA grant, and it was like, well, that would be interesting. But when it came out that it was substance abuse, it was like, okay, this is what we do. So we decided to write it, and I guess I was thinking, well, if we have it written, then it'll be ready for the next time an opportunity comes through. So I didn't really think anything about that we were going to get it. I think they had to find me to let me know that we had gotten it, because I like saw the email and thought, eh, I don't want to get rejected today. I just went about my business. So, I mean, you know, again, we were really surprised, but on the other hand, it was like, it was really fun if you think about what happened, is because we had like five people in the university just decide, and some of them were not even in our department. They didn't know substance abuse, but they all had something that they brought. And everybody just like, because you don't have very long to write these grants, like 6 weeks. And everybody just like kept working on it, and we just divided it up and looked at what we needed. And because, you know, substance abuse wasn't new. We've always been providing that in our school. And so we just started looking and going, okay, kind of started like making like this wish list. Well, if we could, what would we do? Well, we'd offer expert training to anybody who wanted to come. We'd make sure that more people were trained in motivational interviewing. We could take our classes and we could make some modules, so the modules will always be there. It won't make a difference which instructor's teaching the class. Best practices for substance abuse will be there. And then, if I guess I could just be frank, we were looking and going, wow, because the way you get points on this grant for having like really bad outcomes in your area. It's like, well. So I was really thinking that one of the larger areas in the state, they have higher mortality and bigger incidents. So I really thought that they were going to be more competitive. And I looked around and I thought the only thing I could think of that would make us different was that we would reach out rural. And the response from reaching out was like, so I'll tag Mary here. I called Mary and I said, hey, Mary, what do you think? When do you need the letter? It was just like, and that was the same response, because like there had been times in the past, I won't name them, but I would have somebody call and say, could we have an intern? And it would be like, I would really want to give them an intern, but the whole piece was that they were a 45-minute drive. So that was looking at the student who already is pretty taxed by the time they're on internship, needing to have 3 hours to drive back and forth to internship a day. And then it was going to be gas and wear and tear on the vehicles. I mean, it was just like there were a lot of barriers. And they'd call up. One time I said, I'm sorry, I looked, I can't find one for you. And they called me back the next day, and it almost made me cry, that they said, okay, our staff took up a collection and we've got gas cards. Will that help? And it was just like, oh. So we decided to go with the rural. Again, we had such amazing response. And you know, anybody we asked, it was like, when do you need the letter? What do you, how soon? And some of them got really excited. And then I started thinking, well, we're not probably going to get this grant. And they think I'm going to give them interns. Well, what am I going to do now? But, oh, surprise, we got the grant. And, you know, it kicked off. And we had the grant it went live September 1st, and we had our first seven placed in that same semester and with all of our different partners. Actually, everybody who had wanted to partner with us at the beginning did take one or more interns, and then the second semester we doubled the number.
That's Deborah Murray, Director of the VOICE Program at Viterbo University, here with us today to talk about the program and how it could help address opioid and substance abuse in and around La Crosse. She's joined by Al Bliss, Health Educator for the La Crosse County Health Department, Mary Freiberg, Executive Director of Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers, and Angie Smith, a master's student at Viterbo in the VOICE Program. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Angie, I want to hear from you why you wanted to be involved in this VOICE program.
I've actually been a social worker in the community for a long time, and talking with Deb, this was before the VOICE grant, and deciding that I wanted to dig a little deeper with mental health and really doing more, I bought into the program at Viterbo and what they're trying to do for mental health services. And as I started doing that, really also coming into an awareness of the drug and alcohol problem in the area. And so it just kind of all aligned. And then when Deb came and talked about this grant, I was already, some of my classes was already leading me in the direction of mental health and substance abuse are so overlapping, and you can't address one without the other, really. And so it just really became evident to me that we need to be learning more about this. And me as a mental health practitioner, I need to be prepared for somebody that comes in my door that has AODA issues. I shouldn't send them to a different silo, right, of I'm comfortable with mental health, but please go over here. When you have a chance to build that rapport, you need to be ready to meet the client's needs that walk in. And so I felt like this was an ample opportunity to really be able to meet all of the needs of anyone who's going to walk in my door and be more prepared. Not that I'm I'm still a student, and so not that I'm feeling like I'm ready to take on anything, but I feel better equipped to do so, and I feel like I'm learning the things, and I'm starting to learn where to go for more information so that I am prepared for whoever walks into my door, and also just the concept of integrated health, and just we have to work as a community. Again, talking about those silos, it's not just mental health and AODA, it's mental health and physical health and all those things. So just, I really, as I learned in the program, I just started wanting more and more information, and I wanted to be more and more prepared. And so, like I said, it just kind of aligned. When Deb came to me and talked about the voice grant, she was excited and she got me excited. And I just keep learning in the process. So.
And so have you had your internship experience yet?
Yeah, so I'm actually right smack dab in the middle of my internship experience. And I'm actually interning with La Crosse County in their Integrated Support and Recovery Services Department. So we deal with both mental health and AODA. And I am very fortunate to be with the group of people that I'm with, because they are on the front lines trying to do new things, trying to meet the needs of the people that are coming through our doors. So yeah, it's a busy world that I'm in right now, but I'm loving the opportunity to learn constantly, and the grant has really given me opportunities to go further than what I would have been able to otherwise. So.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about just some of the services you're able to provide to the community through this internship?
I think there's clients that otherwise may not get served, to be honest. And so that's what, even beyond just kind of the opioid issue and stuff like that, there's people that simply because they don't have health insurance or they don't, you know, there's so many barriers to getting care. That I have found I've been able to reach those people and provide services as an intern, because I don't make money off this. I'm actually paying for it, but that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. So that's a part of it, that there's people that can get services without insurance. Also, just the idea of like rural areas. So through my internship, I'm seeing a client out in the Holman area that otherwise I wouldn't necessarily have the availability to go out to drive to them, but that's a barrier that otherwise they wouldn't get in. And it allows me to be more available to clients that otherwise might feel at a loss for seeking those services.
Mary, can you talk a little bit about some of the work that these voice program students are doing at Scenic Bluffs?
Sure. There's just a bunch of things that have been going through my head with this conversation. The integrated care is a big part of what we have focused on at the health center. So we have, people come in our doors 23,000 different times over the course of the year, and they come in for various things. So you may have a dental patient who's coming in. You may have a medical patient. One of the things that we do is pay attention to all of those other issues that are going on with people, because the fact that they're walking into a clinic to get treatment services is wonderful, but we know that they're coming in for reasons that feel urgent or more important. And so what we want to do is, especially when you deal with patients or people who are low income, is try and understand all those other things that are going on in their lives that create stressors or impact their health, because it's over and over again, where someone lives and works has much more to do with their health than whether or not they end up in a clinic for care. And so what we want to do is ask the questions. So we screen for things called the social determinants of health. We have people on staff who will sit with people and say, I understand you've perhaps missed some appointments because transportation's an issue. Let's try and figure out how to work with you to get transportation, or you're concerned about your children's food. Let's connect you with area resources. And so all of those things we take pretty seriously, and that has been a piece of what the intern through this program has worked on with us over time. I also think that it's important, Angie mentioned it, and she said, you know, when people come into you, they trust you, and what you don't want to do is to do anything to jeopardize the trust that they have placed in you for whatever they come to you for. And so if you identify that they're homeless when they're sitting in a dental chair, or if you identify that they've had that they have substance use issues when they're there for a chiropractic appointment, you want to make sure that the trust that they show in you as a healthcare provider is warranted, that because what you're doing is caring about them enough to link them with the people who know how to do it. Certainly our dental staff does not know what to do with someone who is homeless, but we have other people in the shop that know what to do with that. And so we've built other services as well around acupuncture and massage therapy, because as Al noted in his statement, medication is not necessarily the best treatment for certain pain options. So there's therapeutic, you know, there's talk therapy, there's medication, then there's other things that can be done. And so what we want to do is to create this menu of options for people in a rural community who can come there, who have trusted you to walk through your doors, because once we get them, we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can with whatever it is that they're presenting to us with. And that integration has been a huge part of what Jenna, our student, has worked with us on Voice.
Mary Freiberg is Executive Director of Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers. She's here with us today to talk about the Voice program at Viterbo University and how it's working to improve opioid and substance use education for future counselors and expand the availability of counseling services, especially in rural areas. She's joined by Angie Smith, a master's student in the Voice program, Deborah Murray, Project Director of the Voice program at Viterbo University, and Al Bliss, Health Educator for the La Crosse County Health Department. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on Viterbo's Voice program and how it's sparking community conversation about addressing opioid and substance abuse. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new program at Viterbo University that's working to improve opioid and substance abuse education for future mental health counselors by partnering with local organizations to offer prevention, treatment, and recovery services. The grant-funded program, called Voice, is also offering opportunities for the community to learn more about policy issues related to opioid and substance abuse. Joining us to talk about these town hall meetings are Deborah Murray, Director of Counselor Education at Viterbo University and Project Director of the Voice Program, Angie Smith, Master's Student at Viterbo in the Voice Program and a Mental Health Service Provider at La Crosse County, Al Bliss, Health Educator for the La Crosse County Health Department, and Mary Freiberg, Executive Director of Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers. Deborah, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about these town hall meetings. I know the first one is scheduled for this week, but there are many more to come in the future.
We have scheduled for March 12th in the evening our first town hall, which is going to address some of the issues that are problematic for individuals who are moving out of the criminal justice system and their ability to have medication or counseling services. And a subcategory that we're going to take on is there is some disparity about who can provide Medicare, Medicaid services. It's a really outdated law or policy. And so we want to start to raise some awareness about the role that licensed professional counselors have to play in integrated behavioral health and what they have to bring. So as the grant rolls out, we'll be looking at what are the other issues, usually they're going to be about policy issues, that we need to be able to better address, you know, health disparities in the area. So that'll be our first one on March 12th at the Turbo.
Yeah, why did you want to select that particular issue, policy issue? Is there a connection to the La Crosse area, or have we seen an impact here locally?
Well, I heard some stories. We have some students that are they provide services both at La Crosse and at Salvation Army. And one of the things, and then I have a couple of other healthcare professionals, and they were talking about it, and it was like they were talking about how, whether somebody's guilty or not, if they're incarcerated, we're in a state that makes the decision to terminate their health services. And when they're terminated, then upon release, they have to be reinstated, which takes time. When an individual has a mental health or a substance abuse issue, and oftentimes they have both of them, to go for a period of time without treatment or without medication is almost, you know, it's like, how, what do you think they're going to do? Of course they get in trouble again. Of course something happens. You just can't go 30 days or more without having services. And so that just seemed to be really compelling, because we don't have to have that policy in Wisconsin. We can have a suspend rather than a terminate, which then again would allow them to have their medications, their treatment immediately, rather than putting them at high risk to have recidivism and then blame them for it when it was an issue that medication or treatment services would have probably helped it not happen. So it just seemed that that was really an area that needed to be addressed, especially because it's like in Wisconsin, we have a choice. We don't have to do that. So that was how we picked the first one. We heard some compelling stories, looked at it, and thought that's what we'll address first.
Why do you think having these kinds of community conversations around this issue are important?
Well, I think that anybody that's working in field absolutely knows that mental health and substance abuse, the stigma that still surrounds that, despite 30 years of really hard work, individuals tend to avoid or think, nah, that doesn't happen to me. I did everything right. We're not going to have mental health. We're not going to have substance abuse issues. And there's some blaming that goes on, rather than looking at a lot of times what we better way to look at it is there's some brain behavior disconnect going on. And so the amount of stigma and just like, oh, they did that themselves. They caused that. We don't need to fix it. Those attitudes really, really need to be addressed, because I've never, ever met anybody who looked at me in the eye and said, when I grow up, I want to be a drug user. That is not what happens. It's, you know, usually a series of choices, of course, but the choices have horrendous outcomes, and they don't need to be that. They don't need to have that many consequences happen. So that's how that was. And it was very much in line with the Franciscan sisters always believed in serve the underserved. Viterbo is part of their legacy, and serve the underserved is mental health and substance abuse and homeless.
Al, I wonder what your perspective is on this, of like why it's important to have these town hall events to talk about, you know, the issues that are surrounding this, that impact policy.
Sure. I think it's very important, as Deb was mentioning. Individuals end up losing their coverage when they're incarcerated. And I think we're fortunate here, at least with the La Crosse County Jail. We've been able to meet as a group with the Alliance to Heal to work towards improving those interruptions in those that were on medicated assisted treatment. So that's one of our goals, is to try to avoid the interruptions when they come in so that they can continue on their medications. And there were some barriers with that. And some of those barriers included being able to just have the clients transported to their weekly meetings for their case manager. Some were just getting the medications there. So our sheriff's department has been willing to work with us with the medical director and those. And there's also a we have a social worker, and Angie can probably talk more about this than I can. The county has a social worker that works with the inmates prior to release, and then upon release, I believe 90 days or so afterwards to follow them. And as Deb was mentioning too, that can be a revolving door. If they're not getting treatment, they're not getting those services, it's likely to cost more. It's likely to cost that individual and those that are, family or friends to them too.
Yeah, Angie, I wonder if, kind of what your experience seeing this issue in the La Crosse area has been.
Yeah, absolutely. So as part of my internship, I've also been doing dual diagnosis groups within the jail and then seeing some jail clients individually. And so the need is definitely there. And the problem is just like Dr. Murray said, that when they get out, then they, it takes a bit to get reconnected. And so one of the things that the Voice Grant has also allowed me to do is I continue to see some of them when they get out. So clients that get out of jail while they're waiting to get services, I'm able to see them through our outpatient clinic, again, through my internship, until they can get connected. And then we have, services within the county that can help that social work piece and those other pieces to connect them to the correct resources. So through this, I'm allowed to fill some of those gaps. I'm only one person currently, so that's why it's so important that more, more students come through and that this grant has an opportunity to grow. But absolutely. And that's one of the things that the inmates that I work with have verbalized, like, where do I go when I get out and what do I do and how do I continue this? Once they find value in services, once they find value in talking through their past trauma and the things that maybe led to their drug and alcohol abuse, they want to keep doing that work. Once you spark a little bit of hope in somebody, you don't want to take it away by, oh, now you're getting out of jail. Good luck. Like Deb said, that's not the way to go about helping people. They're going to end up, how could we not expect them to end up back doing the things that led to their issues to begin with? So.
Also, starting this week, the Voice Program is hosting an opioid recovery summit, which is a day-long educational event with the Alliance to Heal. Deborah, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what that summit will entail.
Well, the summit is going to have we have speakers from the Veterans Administration coming down and talking about evidence-based practices and how to be treating pain, some other processes that are being used. We have a physician from Gunderson who's also going to talk about pain. Again, pain sort of kicked off the opioid, which kicked off the heroin. So looking at, much like what Al said a little bit ago, looking at there's other ways to be treating a lot of the issues and trying to expand that. We're also going to hear some Cooley Recovery is going to be bringing us some stories of successful recoveries. We're going to talk about integrated behavioral health. And I think that one of the things that we really want to start doing is start to look at the needs for increasing our workforce in this particular area. The other thing, I guess another thing that'll happen is that we want to make sure that we're like talking about best practices. And so students in the Voice Grant, another thing that they'll be doing or that they're able to do is when they're with a agency, they all have to do an action research project. And so several of them are looking at the different practices that would enhance or increase. So trying to develop that workforce and also give them some opportunity to give back into the community with their action research projects. And I think that Angie could talk a little bit about the one she's working on, and I think that Mary could really talk about the needs of us expanding that workforce, if that was useful.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about a new program at Viterbo that's connecting counseling students with area organizations. We're here with Deborah Murray, director of the Voice Program at Viterbo University, Al Bliss from the La Crosse County Health Department, Mary Freiberg from Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers, and Angie Smith, a master's student in the Voice Program. Yeah, Angie, I'd love to hear about your research project.
Yeah, so I kind of hinted on, the idea of trauma leading to both mental health and substance abuse issues. And what we found is that best practice for for working with somebody with substance abuse, for instance, is to also be aware of the relationship between trauma, and that if we're working with somebody and we're trying to treat substance abuse issues, we really need to be treating the potential trauma. And so best practices are to have counselors or providers that are can speak both languages, can help with both things at the same time. So, for instance, if somebody's coming in for substance abuse treatment, if that's what they're seeking, kind of like what Mary mentioned, we're also asking some other questions. So we might be doing a trauma screen. We might be checking for those other pieces of the puzzle that maybe they're just saying, I need to kick my drug habit, and they're not recognizing the connection. It's our job as providers to start recognizing that and asking the questions that need to be asked to provide them with the best services. So my action research project is around that very thing. What are the best practices to overlap trauma and treating trauma along with the substance abuse? Because what we also find is that, so not only can trauma present itself first and lead to substance abuse, but the other way around too. It's the cyclical thing that if we're not prepared to really evaluate both things, we're doing a disservice. So yeah, best practices would be to start the process of learning both.
Mary, what are you hoping students at Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers are able to kind of discover through their research projects there?
Sure. The value I think that the health centers bring to this project is the rural nature of the practice. And so the issues of substance use, the issues of individuals who have those issues, they aren't any different. It doesn't matter where you live. The issues are the same. The opportunities for care and treatment, the support systems, those are the pieces that are different. And so what we want to do is to make sure that we are best positioned to provide adequate supports for people regardless of where they come at us from. If they need active treatment, we want to make sure that we're there for that. If they need support services, we want to make sure that we're adequately linking people in for those services. And so the challenge is to make sure, and the work of this project in Scenic Bluffs is to make sure that we make those connections seamlessly. And it's a little more difficult because you're dealing with less people. The issues are the same. The intensity is the same. The number of people that you're working with is different. On one hand, it's much more a personal connection that we have with our patients, perhaps at a rural site, because there are less people that you have to manage on a caseload. On the flip side, the learning that comes along with a whole group of peers sitting around you doing the same work is less. And so having that connection for our therapists and our students to this broader project is super important. And so these opportunities to participate in learning experiences in the community, talking about very specific issues, understanding that maybe the number is different for us, but the issues are the same. Those are that support system that builds in around the care and treatment is important. I think the other reason that we're a participant in this is we need providers who do that. And so for us, it's a workforce issue. We need people who are trained and skilled in this. We need a program like Viterbo that teaches individuals how to do this work really well, because we want to make sure that when they're done with school that we can bring them on board and start to provide services to the patients, because a lot of times these issues are hidden, sometimes they're not, but what you want to do is make sure that you're always ready for whenever the next need should arise.
Yeah, Deborah brought up this issue of workforce needs in rural communities of just needing more providers. Can you talk a little bit about how Scenic Bluffs has been dealing with that issue or been affected by that issue?
Workforce is always difficult, and being in sort of the shadow of the systems in La Crosse in Cashton makes it a bit more difficult to hire providers, because there's an inherent draw for clinicians that want to work in larger communities with the support network around them. And so to be a rural healthcare provider, you have to be the best of the best. You have to be comfortable in your skills. You have to be willing to work with a few people around you and a vibrant phone support network. It's tough to recruit, and so recruitment and retention is a challenge for any rural healthcare provider in this area. It's an issue as well. So for us, knowing that we have a pipeline of individuals who are skilled and qualified who are coming down, if we can show them our organization through training, if we can give them the experience of our integrated care model that we have at the health center, we think that that serves us well and gives us this opportunity to maybe down the line hire them to come and work for us.
Briefly, as we wrap up here, Deborah, this is a 3-year grant project. Can you talk a little bit about what's next, what's coming down the pipeline here for Voice, the Voice program?
We'll have the town hall and we'll have the summit. And then we're going to start working, again, it's a year-round, looking for making matches with students who qualify for the initiative, the Voice initiative, with a partner. That's going to always be ongoing because we'll have up to 45 students will have been able to be trained in that 3-year period. We're also starting to work on some connecting the students with some more of the prevention activities that are available so that not only are we putting out well-skilled treatment providers, but they also know the prevention and intervention and that they're more equipped to be working with the Albluses and the Marys in the world. Okay, so that will be another area that we're working on. We will be going out to rural areas because we do a town hall and a community conversations in La Crosse each year, but we also will be hosting those, looking for a host site in rural areas so that we can also address some of the relevant issues that are happening. And then, I guess, some excitement, we're going to be developing those units that can start to increase the training capacity for our students. We're hoping to put together a couple of community events where we'll have, some practice on integrated behavioral health best practices around substance abuse and invite the community to come to those and do structured clients, doing, I mean, almost like some practice drills. So we have a lot to do, and then it just starts over. It just goes until 45 students have been trained.
Deborah Murray, Director of the Voice Program at Viterbo University, Angie Smith, a master's student in the program, Mary Freiberg from Scenic Bluffs Community Health Centers, and Al Bliss from the La Crosse County Health Department. Join us to talk about the new project at Viterbo University to connect counseling students with area organizations in order to expand availability of opioid and substance abuse prevention and recovery services. Next week, a new host will be taking over Newsmakers. Ezra Wall is WPR's Southwestern Regional Manager. He's taking over as executive producer and host of the show, and he joins us now for a brief introduction. Ezra, tell us a little bit about yourself and your work here at WPR.
Thanks, Hope. I am, like you said, I'm the new regional manager. I started in December. What people might not know is that I'm from La Crosse. I grew up here. And moved away in the mid-90s to go to college and began a career in radio actually while I was still in college. And after 23 or so years of a career in broadcast journalism, I moved back here to be close to my family and to see what opportunities I could dig up at WPR, and I'm super excited.
Newsmakers is going to be seeing a few more changes under your leadership. Our Thursday broadcast will be moving to Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Tell us a little bit more about the changes.
Well, so what people might not know about Wisconsin Public Radio is that, yes, we have multiple statewide networks, like the Ideas Network that people are familiar with, or the NPR News and Music Network. We even have on our HD signal, we even have an all classical network, 24 hours a day, all classical music. What they might not know is that in several of the regions, we have a little bit of programming that is issues focused programming that exists only in that region. So in La Crosse, we have Newsmakers. They have a program in Eau Claire. They have a program in Superior. They have programs in different parts of the state that are unique to that specific region. And so Newsmakers is our regional show here. So what we're doing is taking all of the regional shows across the state and moving them to the same day and the same time so that there's a little bit more predictability in our statewide schedule. So what that means is that Newsmakers is moving. If you're used to listening to it on Thursday mornings at 10 on WHLA, it's going to be moving to Friday mornings at 10 on WHLA. Now, if you're used to listening on WLSU, during the Saturday broadcasts, there are two of them, those are going to remain the same. So you don't even have to worry about any of that part.
Ezra, what are you most excited for as the new host of the show?
Well, it's the same thing that I've gotten the opportunity to do since moving back in December, which is to get to know my community where I grew up and where I've spent so much of my sort of vacation time, if you will, over the last 20 or so years through a new lens, through the lens of all of the professional experience and my experience as a journalist and as a storyteller. I'm excited about the opportunity to see where the challenges are in our community and shine a light on the people working to find solutions to those challenges. But I'm also excited to shine a light on the many things that make our culture so wonderful. So whether it's the arts or whether it's other cultural aspects of being part of our community, I'm looking forward to shining a light on those and just letting everybody know why the La Crosse area, the whole Cooley region, and really the whole Driftless area is such a wonderful place to live.
You can hear Ezra Wall, the new host and executive producer of Newsmakers, starting next week. And that's it for Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.